It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. It is Education Week as part of our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series. And today we're turning to New Jersey. There are two big races there, and we'll talk about both, and we'll hear clips of the candidates. It's the governor's race between Chris Christie and Barbara Buono, and the special election October 16th to fill the open U.S. Senate seat between Cory Booker and Steve Lonergan. Joining us are John Mooney, the founding editor of NJSpotlight.com and longtime education reporter, and Nancy Solomon, the managing editor of New Jersey Public Radio, who has also done much reporting over her career on education in New Jersey. Well, good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Hi, Brian.
And let's start with the governor's race and with K-12 education. Chris Christie did not make out or set out to make friends with some of the 100,000 public school teachers in New Jersey. I think it's fair to say right out of the gate, he cut just over $1 billion in state funding for education. How did he actually reform the education system in New Jersey, Nancy?
Well, in terms of reform, there was his tenure reform law, which passed. And what we'll be seeing is the rollout over the next couple years of whether teachers are able to hold on to their jobs based on how their students perform on standardized tests. And it's unclear how effective that program is going to be to improve teaching in New Jersey. But I would say that is probably the biggest reform. He cut the budget. He faced a budget deficit, and he's cut somewhere, John, upwards of, what, $2.1 billion since he took office?
Yeah, I mean, he had a big cut the first year. He came in with a big hole and took a severe cut of virtually all schools. Some of it was recovered fairly quickly when the court ordered additional funding to go back into the urban districts under the Abbott versus Burke equity case. And slowly they've climbed back to relative parity from where they were before Christie came in. But it's that a lot of districts are still really reeling.
Now, people will wonder, well, did he do this because he's a Republican who doesn't believe in public education, or whatever question like that might come up. So here's our first clip, and it is a minute of Governor Christie defending what he's done on education, starting with that question of funding.
I don't want to spend any less on education. This isn't about saving money. This is about expanding opportunity. And there's nothing that angers me more in this job, and I mean nothing, and there's plenty to get angry about in this job, let me guarantee you, but there is nothing that angers me more than going into urban school settings, watching kids fail, and looking at parents who say, I have no option, Governor. I have no option but to send my child to this failing school. What can you do for me? And when I try to do something, we get nothing but opposition based upon old, worn-out BS. The governor wants to eliminate the public schools. The governor doesn't want to eliminate the public schools. What the governor wants to do is have every child get a great education, no matter where they live. And if we can't do it in the public schools, then you're damn right. I'm willing to stand up against those public schools who are robbing you and your child of a greater future.
Governor Christie on education. We'll hear from Barbara Buono in a minute, and also in the Senate race, Cory Booker and Steve Lonergan. And listeners, we want to hear from you. Anything you want to say or ask about education as an issue in the New Jersey races and how it might affect your kid, depending on who's elected, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. I should say broader than that as well. Your kid or your community or the future of the state or your property taxes, 212-433-9692. On WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River, the stations of New York and New Jersey Public Radio. So John Mooney, in that clip, he was talking mostly about school choice and charters and the voucher program, good even for private schools, which he hasn't been able to get passed in the legislature. What does he actually want to do in terms of school choice in his second term?
Yeah, I mean, I think you'll see, as you say, he has not been able to get through a school voucher plan. It's largely the teachers union has fought very hard against it. And And some Democrats are actually coming around to at least trying out a pilot of it, but it's still not enough votes. And I think he'll try again. It's really the one piece of his education platform that he hasn't gotten through. And I think he will try again. He may even try in a lame duck session where anything can happen in New Jersey, for sure, if he gets reelected. And I think charters has been a little trickier. He certainly is a big fan of them, but he faced a lot of backlash, especially in suburban communities, when they approved something like 20-plus new charters in his first year. And he's really pulled back a lot on that. I think he has seen that as you know, that's Republican territory. And
charter schools?
Yeah. I mean, he's sort of a handful at a time now, largely in urban districts. And he has openly said that he, you know, really wants charters more to be in districts that have struggled themselves and not necessarily in the Milburns and the Summits and the Princetons and the like. So
Nancy, does this actually put him largely on the same page with President Obama's education reform agenda? Could they give each other another Sandy-style hug over their education policies?
I think they have been giving themselves Sandy-style hugs. I mean, they do it, you know, maybe not standing together shoulder to shoulder, but Christie has said supportive things about Obama's education reform plans. He and Cory Booker, who I know we'll talk about this more in a moment, but he and Cory Booker are aligned when it comes to education reform. And, you know, there is this push towards more charters, more choice, vouchers. And you know, and I think the suburban thing is quite interesting because I don't know if you remember, but a year or 2 years ago, you and I talked about it and I said, this could be Chris Christie's Waterloo. This is, charter schools in the suburbs are not going to fly. And there were a ton of proposals when he signaled to the state, I want more charter schools. I'm going to fund more. I want more proposals. He got flooded with proposals from suburban districts, and it was like a buzzsaw. He was met with so much opposition, and he backed off of them.
Why don't suburban districts like charter schools?
Because it takes money out of the public school budget, and the schools are decent, and the parents want their kids in. They're paying huge property taxes. They want their kids in their local school. And, you know, so for instance, in Maplewood, the charter school was going to be a Chinese immersion school. Parents weren't interested in it. They didn't want that money coming right out of their school budget.
So if you're pretty satisfied with your public schools, then you're likely to be opposed to messing around with the system by imposing charters.
Yeah, I mean, I think because we have had charter schools in suburban communities from the beginning. Princeton was actually one of the very first ones. I mean, they've happened. I think it really hit, as Nancy said, it really hit when the dollars got tight, and when districts had to start sending large chunks of money to charter schools when they themselves were suffering. I think that's really where you saw the backlash.
All right. So here's about a minute of Democratic gubernatorial candidate Bob Rabono on education in a campaign video. So you will hear some very campaign video sounding music underneath her.
I authored the School Funding Reform Act in 2008 to give all our children the opportunity to reach their full potential. But Chris Christie skirted the law and cut almost $1 billion from school funding. As governor, I'll restore that funding and protect our resources that our students and educators need. Chris Christie's sitting on $4 billion in school construction money while our students sit in crumbling classrooms, and that's just not right. I'll use those funds as intended and make sure our kids can learn in safe environments. And while Chris Christie dismisses preschool as glorified babysitting, research proves that early education works to close the achievement gap, so I'll commit to universal preschool and full-day kindergarten across our state.
All right. There's the Bill de Blasio issue from New York, universal full-day pre-K. It's an issue in New Jersey, too?
Yes, it is, and education advocates and researchers want to see it, but it's expensive. And, you know, John and I were talking before we came on about the fact that there are still districts in New Jersey that don't have full day kindergarten, let alone universal preschool. So it's expensive. And like any person running a campaign for elected office, Buono is promising something that it's not clear how it would get paid for.
And in New York, Bill de Blasio has a plan to pay for it, his tax hike on people making $500,000 a year or more in New York City. Does Barbara Buono have a plan to pay for universal pre-K in New Jersey?
Not in everything else she wants to pay for. She's been pretty vague on that. I mean, certainly, and it would cost, you know, a good $1 billion. She has talked about that she would try again at the millionaire's tax, which would raise, you know, $600-700. But in terms of having enough money to do that, as well as fully fund the budget, or fully fund the school funding formula, I mean, this is several billion dollars that would have to come out of somewhere. And she talks about budgets being priorities and there's opportunities for it, but she has not laid out the details of it.
And on the part of the clip where she was talking about Christie sitting on $4 billion in school construction money, we heard his clip earlier saying that his education policies are not about spending less on education. They're about quality education. Maybe he got caught in the state budget crunch in New York. They also reduced school funding in the first year of the financial crisis and have since started to bring it back. So is this about Christie not wanting to spend money?
Well, this is a hard one for him to explain because this is the school construction fund. It's not the state budget. It's a fund. It's a pot of money. And when he took office, he said, you know, and there was an audit that showed that there was some corruption. It wasn't run well. And so he shut it down and he said, rebuild this, you know, the School Development Authority, rebuild it. But what happened was all the shovel ready projects, the school districts that are run by the state are completely dependent on this fund to not just build new schools but repair old schools. And so all the projects that were in the works got shut down and have, you know, really literally gone back to the drawing board. And you have situations like there's been a lot of attention about Trenton Central High School, where the place is crumbling. And so this is a hard one for him to really get around. And the two legislators from the Trenton District invited him to come to the school, and so far he hasn't made an appearance.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we talk about education as an issue in the Christie Buono gubernatorial race, and we'll get to the Lonergan Booker senatorial race, and we'll hear at least one eye-popping clip. You'll decide which one is eye-popping when we get to them, of the two candidates. We're talking with Zach Fink. I'm sorry. We're talking with John Mooney, founding editor of NJSpotlight.com, and Nancy Solomon, New Jersey Public Radio managing editor. Issue 3 in our election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days. And let's take a phone call. Kylie in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. So I wanted to get your panelists' thought on consolidating school districts in New Jersey. So I think New Jersey at last count has, I don't know, 556 or 613, some outrageous number of school districts. And so in terms of like lowering property taxes and, you know, as an education issue for quality as well as for fiscal reasons, I wonder what they have to say about really pushing the candidates on, you know, becoming smarter and doing maybe a county school system instead of having so many school districts in such a small state.
Is that even on the table? I know people always talk about consolidation of school districts and towns when they talk about the bloated property taxes and all the budgets of, you know, all these local jurisdictions. Is it on Barbara Buono's lips? Is it on Chris Christie's lips?
I mean, as you said, they talk about it every year. There are some steps towards it in terms of consolidating certain services, having the counties, you know, sharing certain things. But I don't think we've had a regionalization in the last 20 years.
Because most of those districts, maybe especially the smaller ones, which maybe tend to be in more affluent places, say, no, we like being able to do this for ourselves and not being hampered by whatever the problems of the next district
right? And it's complicated to do it. When you consolidate them, what contract do you take up? And under the law right now, when you consolidate, you go to the higher contract in terms of teacher pay. You know, there's winners and losers whenever you do regionalizations, and it makes it very complicated, and you just don't see a whole lot. And I, to be honest, I thought you'd see more when we went through the financial crisis because it was a real opportunity for it. I think there are some savings could be had, and still people hunkered down and held on. And there are districts, you know, there are districts that are literally one school, you know, one small school. And some of those, you know, there's some moves to bring them into larger districts and the like. And it, you see some baby steps, but I don't see that really happening anytime soon.
Bob in Morris County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Brian. I'm president of the Morris County Head Start Community Program, and we've been cut by the sequester, and we've been damaged by some of the budget cuts at the state level. You made reference before about how expensive pre-K preschool is, but I'd like to offer the alternative view that says it's not nearly as expensive as not doing it, particularly for economically disadvantaged children. If you look at the long-range studies for these kids, they become far more productive members of society if they're given an opportunity to get into these preschool programs. We can invest a few thousand bucks a year per kid now, or in 10, 12 years, we can start investing an awful lot of money in social welfare programs, incarceration costs, teen pregnancies, all those things which Head Start and other good preschool programs helps to avoid.
I guess the problem is convincing the legislators who have to pass next year's budget that they're really going to save money for themselves or future legislators 12 years hence through these long-term effects.
Yeah, and New Jersey is actually pretty far along on this. They do have universal 2 years of universal preschool in the Abbott districts, in our poorest districts. So he's right. It's really the one reform that New Jersey is, I think it's fairly inarguably done very well on this. And there's been some real studies that have shown these kids are still achieving into fourth and fifth grade. There's a lot of questions of, do you lose those gains that you get early on as they get older? And there's been some real hard studies that are showing that they're still making gains well into elementary school and as they approach middle school. So he's right about it. And New Jersey's done okay on that.
And by the way, I should say to you, Bob, and to everybody else interested that tomorrow, issue 4 in 30 Issues in 30 Days, our election series, is going to be entirely about the universal pre-K proposal in New York City that's become the signature issue of candidate Bill de Blasio and, by extension, universal pre-K everywhere. Also, Bill de Blasio will be our first guest out of the box at 10 o'clock on Friday morning, just something you can put on your calendars if you want to hear him. But now Tom in Oceanport says Governor Christie is pressuring his school district to consolidate with others. Is that right, Tom?
Yeah, I think the cuts originally were to choke the small districts into forcing their hands and combining and sharing services. But I was just thinking about the charter schools. Do you think that's an attempt to weaken the teachers' union?
Before we get to that, I'm just curious. If you think that Christie wants to choke small school districts to force them to consolidate, I'm not familiar with your district, but would it be a bad thing to share services
no.
and therefore reduce bureaucracy no. with other districts
you
nearby?
You don't just share services with superintendents and business administrators, you sell, share, you know, a lot of the intellectual services, you know, especially if they're all going to go to a regional high school.
So you do like the idea. You do like the idea. All right. Is charter schools a way to get at the teachers' unions, or is the enmity with the teachers' unions because they're blocking charter schools, which he just thinks is good education?
Well, I think this has been one of the fundamental friction points in, you know, the charter school movement across the country. And there have been some notable cases of charter schools that worked with the teachers union to hire unionized teachers. But I think charter schools got off right from the start as being it was an aggravation and a to teachers and a fear that the unions have. And you know, I think to some degree they do undermine the teachers' union. Maybe you could say that's a good thing. But, you know, they are hiring non-union teachers. You know, and part of the criticism about charter schools is now that we've had them for a while, the research is showing that they're not necessarily better. And a lot of the stories that have come out about charter schools, you have young idealistic people who are being hired to teach, but they're not experienced teachers necessarily. So really, every single charter school has to be taken as its own thing. They're all so different.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with Nancy Solomon, managing editor of New Jersey Public Radio, and John Mooney, founding editor of NJ Spotlight. And moving on to the U.S. Senate race, Cory Booker, the mayor of Newark, actually doesn't have control over the school system there. It was taken over by the state 10 years ago. We remember that Booker secured that big $100 million donation from Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg. Here is Booker from an education event that I moderated earlier this year at NJPAC about school choice and diversity, among other issues. You will hear my voice in the middle of this clip.
Our kids, which are all of our children, go to magnet schools. They go to district schools. They go to unique type schools like Harriet Tubman here in Newark. They go to charter schools. They even go to schools like St. Benedict's or Chad School, which we used to have in Newark, and other great models. They're all our children. And so that's really what the goal is in Newark right now, is to create a system of high-performing schools. Let's not talk about necessarily focus on the type of school, but really on student outcomes. And so that every parent in our city has a choice of high-performing schools to send their kids to.
But is that to say that you need a diversity of systems? You need charter schools and district schools in order to reach every kid? Just to push back on what some, you know, critics say, why, if you're going to create every school as an excellent school, why do you need a separate charter system?
Again, so I'm sorry, I just don't believe one school model fits all. I just don't. And I think that you have a diversity of schools because you have a diversity of kids. And I do believe that parents should be able to choose the type of school that best serves their kids.
So, John Mooney, as we all experienced in that event at NJPAC, there are a lot of people in Newark who don't like Mayor Booker's education record. Maybe there are a lot who do, and they just didn't show up to the event to make noise. But what's the legacy?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly is pro-choice and, you know, pro-school choice. He was on a board of a school, of a charter school when it opened. He was actually one of the earlier proponents of school vouchers. He's backed off that a little bit since then. But he certainly has done that. He's very pro-reform. As you mentioned, he's mostly responsible for the Zuckerberg money coming into the district, the $100 million that came into the district. He had worked very closely with Cami Anderson, the state's appointed superintendent there. I mean, I think if he was sticking around, he would have liked to have that mayoral control. I think he certainly had an agenda that he would have liked to have carried forward. As you mentioned, and you could hear from the clip, there's quite a bit of pushback to that. I think it ended up being a fairly mixed record for him. I mean, the schools are still struggling, even with all of his support for some of the reforms they've done. And I will say that Cami Anderson has made some progress in some areas, but still hasn't necessarily certainly made the gains that she's going to want to make.
So the question now becomes, what's the role of the federal government in education in New Jersey, since Booker and Steve Lonergan are running for the U.S. Senate? One big federal impact these days is the Common Core standards that everybody seems to be adopting and reformulating their state standardized tests in just about every state to match. So here is Lonergan on the role of the federal government in education.
How about the intrusion into what I would call the gold ring of politics? And that's the ability of the government to control our children's minds. Through a federal mandated program coming out of the Federal Department of Education called Common Core Curriculum Standards, in which the federal government is mandating what our children learn, what their curriculum will be, how will we be tested. Will they be teaching about those founding documents? Oh, maybe from a faraway view about a bunch of papers written by a bunch of old white guys 250 years ago and how it's outdated. Maybe we have to have a living constitution or more government regulation. It's federal bureaucrats who are going to teach our kids, not us.
Republican senatorial candidate Steve Lonergan actually saying there that the ability of the government to control our children's minds is the gold ring of politics that the Obama administration is entering into. Obviously, Cory Booker would disagree with that, Nancy. So we've got a distinction on the part of the candidates there. Is there anything in the Common Core standards, as you reported on them, that seems to back up what Lonergan's concerned about, that they're going to impose, say, a politically correct analysis of the founding fathers?
I think this is very interesting in the sense that here you have something. This is a place where the right and the left on the two ends of the polls swing around and meet in the back. And Lonergan, I mean, there are a lot of people who are very unhappy about the Common Core and unhappy about the push for more and more standardized curriculum, less local control, more testing. So, for instance, I had a conversation yesterday with one of the advocates involved with Save Our Schools, which is a statewide school advocacy group. They are unhappy about Common Core and local control, but Steve Lonergan adds this other element to it of, you know, he's talked about that this is going to give the government more ability to do surveillance on Americans through the testing. And, you know, so he just goes and I think, you know, his ideas about what this curriculum actually represents, I think it goes too far for New Jersey voters. So I don't know that it's going to get traction. But, yes, Booker is pro Common Core and Lonergan obviously isn't.
And we're just about out of time. But John Mooney, the teachers union, is not totally in love with Mayor Booker because of his closeness to the policies that we were discussing before, charter schools, et cetera. And they did not endorse in the Democratic primary for Senate. Are they endorsing between Booker and Lonergan?
I don't believe they are. To be honest, I'm not absolutely certain on it. But I think they would probably prefer him in office than Lonergan, but I think they also feel they can sit this one out. They're certainly not endorsing Christie. They are endorsing Barbara Buono and will work hard for her. But, you know, whether they carry the weight they once did on these elections, it's harder to tell. They may probably have more influence when it comes to the legislature, where, you know, smaller elections where we're getting the people on the ground, it can make more of a difference. But certainly in the senators, as Nancy talked about, it's been some very strange bedfellows lining up on Common Core. And it'll be interesting. One factual thing is it's not really a federal program. It is a national one. It's not coming out of the federal government. They are encouraging it. They're obviously offering some money as incentives to do it. But it's a national one that's largely been built by the states, and about 48 states have gone along with it. So it'll be interesting how that plays out and certainly the testing that comes with it.
John Mooney, founding editor of NJSpotlight.com. Nancy Solomon, New Jersey Public Radio managing editor. Thank you both very much.
Thanks, Brian.
And there you have issue three in our 30 Issues in 30 Days election season series, Education and the New Jersey Races. Tomorrow, issue four, as we continue Education Week on 30 Issues, we will take a deep dive into the Bill de Blasio Universal Pre-K proposal. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will ask what happens to Obama and Rouhani post non-handshake. Stay tuned.